Today is August
29th.
August 29th, 2016. My name is Deborah Schwartz, and I am sitting here with Ambassador Hugh Fullerton. Hugh, thank you so much for joining me today. I am here to represent the Mill Valley Library and the Mill Valley Historical Society Oral History Program, and I am pleased to include your story in our collection.
Happy to oblige.
Now, what's so very interesting about your story, Hugh, is that you are here to represent a select subcommunity in our town of gamers. You are what I call the Gaming Friday Club, the group of individuals that collect, not just on Friday, but often for very big games of backgammon and chess in our Depot Square. So I think a lot of us have seen you guys for years and years, seen the activity, seen the interesting individuals come and go, but never really known about you guys. So this is a wonderful opportunity to know, who are you guys and what's going on?
Wonderful question. Aren't we lucky, Deborah, to have access to a plaza? We're living in a town uniquely in the Bay Area, I think, that actually has access to a plaza in the European tradition. Think Malaga or think Bern, Switzerland. And we're very lucky. It could be considered to be an accidental plaza in a sense that in 1950, alas, when they tore up the tracks of the wonderful Northwestern Pacific Railroad, if I'm remembering the name correctly.
That's correct, yeah.
That ran right up to the train depot and then fanned out into six tracks, having come up Miller Avenue as a spur off of the line that ran all over Marin County. Wouldn't we love to have that situation today as a way of getting around? In any event, we're very lucky to have a plaza. People you might not have seen for a while and live in different parts of the town passing through. I suppose that in addition to myself, is that original attraction, that's also an attraction for many of the other gamers. And in some respects, some of them, it would be like going to the club, going to the gaming club. I can think back in my own case, my dad went to the club. He was a golfer, this is, in some sense, could be considered to be a poor man's club, where we're not having to pay any dues or what have you. It's open to us. It would be fun to maybe even make a donation to the plaza the way Marcus did. He brings in a nice bench. Bill Graham, the rock impresario, you'd have to tell me the year, maybe 1979 or something, brings the gaming tables to the plaza, because the plaza to him, living up on Corte Madera Ridge, reminded him of Washington Square Park, Lower Manhattan, down by New York University, which was also a gaming center in that part of New York City. And so we are very lucky to have a plaza, and we hope we're serving the community well to help people enjoy it.
Well, I have to say there's something comforting about the regularity of your presence. There is. You know, there are just certain things when you can depend on it that help you recognize your town, know your people. Even if you never talk to them, there they are, your home. There's that group, there's this group, the hikers walking by. All these things that give our town a particular ambiance, and you certainly are a colorful lot. Before we get into actually the word gaming, which I'd like to explore, and the crew of gamers that come and go, I'd love to get just a little context about your life. So I call you ambassador. I do so with a smile on my face because you are a friendly man and you talk to a lot of people and you're here as a representative of the gamers, but you're not officially an ambassador to Mill Valley, although perhaps we can arrange something in the future. But before you became a gamer, maybe you could tell me a little bit about your family history and what brought you to Mill Valley.
Sure. I grew up in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, where my wife Elizabeth and I met at Cleveland Heights High School and developed a strong friendship, which led to marriage. And I went back to my hometown after undergrad school and worked in a financial institution at the time and became known there. And then very luckily received a job offer out here in California, San Francisco.
What year would this be?
This would have been 1969, and we had come out here on vacation in 1968 to rendezvous with John Begley, B-E-G-L-E-Y, and his wife at the time called Nancy Ketchum Begley. And we had a wonderful visit and went back to Ohio for a year or so. While it took me about that long to wangle a job out here, that's the way to come to California, I think.
Decide, you mean come visit and then know you will be coming back?
Well, I certainly knew I was coming back. John wasn't quite so sure. He said, oh, I don't know if we'll ever see the Fullertons again. I was able to wangle the job out here, and I was a corporado for some few years, and then I've been self-employed for quite some years and been pretty lucky.
So you're here and you're how old? You come to San Francisco and Bay Area in 1969, which is...
2 years we missed the Summer of Love by, mm-hmm. although at that time we already had two Bambinos. So.
Yeah, so, but this is a very critical time in our San Francisco Bay Area history. Lots of things are going on.
Think David Talbot, Season of the Witch.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he describes it quite well. And you can hear his oral interview very soon. So you're living here when you've got two small babies, and did you come right to Mill Valley?
Good question. No, we started off in San Rafael, California, having to do with not being able to afford a house right away, but saved up, sold the car in a situation where I could take public transportation to the financial district, downtown San Francisco. And I tell that to people these days, sell the car to make a down payment on a house? Wow. But it was so worth it coming closest to San Francisco after all, avoiding these tremendous commute problems that we have these days.
Yes. So you get yourself situated in Mill Valley by what year?
1971.
1971. So Mill Valley at that point is like what?
Very good question. I would say one-third artists, one-third carpenters, one-third guys commuting to the city. And there have been some changes over the years where maybe now it's two-thirds guys commuting to the city.
And so you're living in, basically, it's a small town. Did they have gaming?
Another good question. Not that I was involved with until rather further along. I would say towards my retirement time.
So how old are, How old are you when you come to live here?
Sure. I was 30 years old, round number.
30-ish. Coming here with two small babies in the early 70s. So, but then you retire, and then thus begins your other career.
True enough. The learning my town, reaching out, learning to be a little less stiff from where I started off in the business world as a corporado. I love that word.
In corporado, you say it with such flair. I feel like I should hear some kind of music that follows you saying that.
Sure. It reminds us, doesn't it, of the song called Desperado.
Yeah. But it also, it has a sort of a fierce fighting tone to it. A corporado. Is that how you felt it was being that light?
Well, it was certainly incredibly competitive. And I've only come to appreciate that word within the last couple of years. I heard it from somebody who was you know who I heard it from, you might know, is Mark Dowie, D-O-W-I-E, the founder of Mother Jones magazine. Lives Inverness with out there with Tom Killian.
So you've made friends as you come to this town. You've met these various people, and does it affect you in your sense of who you are in the world? You're coming from a corporate world, and now you're living in Mill Valley.
I would say very much so. In fact, we may not really get to know ourselves completely, except in terms of other people's reaction to us, let's say. And I appreciate maybe a little bit of glibness. I know a little bit about a lot of different things. I can very easily get over my head quickly in certain respects. But I find when I am meeting other people that there may be a little tidbit I can reach to that they would think is funny or surprised that I would know about.
So that's how... That's your social lubricant, your wit, your surface ability to glide along with a plume.
I couldn't have put it better.
So you can garner interest with your witty ways and the way that you communicate. And so you now are attracting people, I'm guessing, that you find interesting in return.
Absolutely. And I think people, as a general statement, love to laugh and love to be playful. And I try to abide.
So you're living as a corporate worker, and then your off hours, you're surrounded by people that are slightly different, I'm guessing. Is that what you're saying?
Sure. And there was a very distinct point where I had cut the corporate umbilical cord quite some years ago and have been happily self-employed for quite a few years. Going through what my wife Elizabeth and I joke as the scuffling period or the scuffling days, which has come around to a plentiful life.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that. So let us segue in, now that we're nice and cozy and comfortable all around, with how you managed to segue comfortably into Mill Valley and an identity that you feel really represents your happy place. The gaming. It's only natural, right?
It is. My grandson, aged 18, off to Seattle, Washington tomorrow morning for college and gymnastics while he's at it. He and I were talking the other day at dinner about game theory. And I says, game theory is about thus and so. And he was saying, wow, I want to know about game theory. And I had to remind him, well, you'll need to do a little work in probability and statistics and like that, Ben, my grandson, before you get right to game theory. But game theory is a wonderful thing to know about.
Game theory.
Mm-hmm.
What is game theory?
Game theory, largely in the game that I love, backgammon, is about the odds of the dice.
Mm-hmm.
Which there very much is odds to know about, and the best players certainly do know about the odds of the dice. Now then, the game itself, when it was invented hundreds of years ago in Persia, was called the game of life.
Backgammon was called the game of life?
The game of life. On any given roll, the whole circumstances can change. So there's two different points of view, Deborah. One is more a logical point of view about what kind of position you're setting up to take advantage of the most probable roles. And then there's another point of view among some of the players where, oh, all I need is a double six to win the game. Alas, the probabilities of a double six are about 3%. So that's a little bit about game theory.
Okay, so when did you enter into your court, which is the Depot Plaza?
Good. I would say in the late 1980s, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a particular Irish heritage guy called Donovan, who was one of the key gamers at that time, loved to come to downtown Mill Valley from where he lived. And he showed many of us how to play backgammon. And he was a very sporting guy and told wonderful Irish heritage stories. And that's part of the whole process, I think, of enjoying that game in downtown Mill Valley.
Because it's so much more than a game?
Yes. It's communicating about what's going on. It's banter. Very much catching up with people that you may not have seen for a while. What are they up to? And so the games, though, are certainly the focal point, as you may have noticed.
But it's your community connection.
Yeah. Yes.
So Donovan came from where?
Good question. He came from the Midwest originally, and he was, I think, 100% Irish heritage. And I'm thinking of some of the other Irish heritage folk from downtown Mill Valley, and just a very generally happy guy, fun to be around.
So who else is there? I mean, you look over there, there's interesting hats and dressing with flair. There seems to be sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, certain tensions in the air as people hover nearby watching games or watching how the dice goes. I mean, there seems to be, that's an alive place you've got right there by the tables.
It certainly is. And it's amazing the number of people that have a opinion about what the best play might be.
You're giving me a funny look. Continue. Explain the look.
The style of backgammon we play, it is very social in the sense that we play most often a version of backgammon called chouette, a French word, chouette. Chouette in French every day means little owl, as if guys would stay up all night to play this style of backgammon game where there is a man in the box playing by himself, and then there may be up to six players on the team playing against him, and there will be a captain of the team, and the other members of the team are not allowed to say anything, not allowed to offer any advice until their doubling cube has been offered and accepted by the guy in the box playing by himself.
So one guy sitting in the box getting, and then there's a team across, but there's a rep to that team. And then everybody else hovers behind him, and that's where the vibe comes from, is they're all fluttering about, hunched over with that tension.
That sounds pretty accurate. It seems like you've been doing some observation, Deborah.
Well, it's hard to miss you guys. And, you know, you really are quite a part of our town. So, now, what about... Okay, so there, I'm kind of getting the idea of... Or you're painting a pretty good picture of the collective consciousness that comes with this kind of scene you've got going on over there.
That's very interesting that you mentioned collective consciousness. Now, then the guy Mortimer Adler, the guy who set up great books in Chicago back in the 1948, his whole, and people are still doing those great books seminars, and it's this idea of collective consciousness coming from the idea of reading a great book, and then you're getting together with six or eight people, and there's a moderator, and discussing the book very specifically, and then seeing what's coming out of this collective consciousness effort. It's a very interesting process. My brother is involved, and he and I were talking about it. I have not done that yet, but I'm realizing as you're interviewing me that, yeah, this idea of collective consciousness, that's very much in this version of backgammon, this chouette version that we are playing, very much of a collective consciousness. Once the other members of the team's cubes have been offered and accepted, doubling cubes.
Very interesting. So now there's more than just a game going on. There's another element, am I correct? I mean, there's a gambling element that has to do with money. Now, I don't know if this is true, but I have heard that a lot of money can ride on these games. Is that true?
Oh, I wouldn't say, I'd certainly say that nobody's missing any meals, Deborah. Uh-huh. And generally speaking, it's nothing that the players can't afford. There's no make or break. In fact, I would much prefer that we not play for large amounts of money that could hurt somebody if they were losing.
Mm-hmm. But there's money in it.
Yeah.
Because it just gives a little spice.
That's right.
It keeps... So, how many guys are in the Friday Club? How many women? Are there women?
We would love to have more women, Deborah. We have a couple who come to the annual tournament.
What is the... You have a name for this tournament, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It happens to be called the Fullerton Classic Backgammon Tournament once a year in the month of January.
Jeez, you're out there in the rain playing a tournament with your name on it.
Or if it's raining, it's inside.
So you have a couple ladies, because I don't see too many ladies.
No, there are a couple, and it may be a little bit how our brains are organized differently, or our needs are organized differently. You may have some ideas about that too.
Okay, so predominantly men.
Yes, very much.
Tell me about your teams. Tell me how many, where do they come from? Just help us to understand, all those that are going to listen, what we're seeing, who we're seeing, if you care to share.
Sure. Well, very particularly the Friday crowd who come on Friday, the best players in the Bay Area, San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland, Northern California, Richmond, will come over for the best game of the week, the Friday game. The other games during the week are typically very much Mill Valley folk. Now then, there is one math professor, though, who teaches at College of Marin.
Jesse. He was my math tutor. I know Jesse. He's a very good math tutor.
He's a very good backgammon player. So you've had some personal experience with a style of brain functioning that might work in both cases, as a math tutor and as a backgammon player.
So he's your sort of resident.
One of the best. He has a rating where backgammon players are rated about how strong they are, and he has a very high rating.
Who rates?
Good question. Some backgammon organization, more not local, more international even, or Bay Area even. I'm not sure. Good question.
So you have people coming on the Friday, and what are the other days of the week that you have games?
Typically any other day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, if somebody is interested in playing or learning, and we love teaching without necessarily playing for money, of course. 4 o'clock being a key time.
That's game time?
Yeah.
4 o'clock?
Yeah.
On the plaza?
Yeah.
Good to know. So you've got, how do you release information? Is it just, is there like a website you go to, or are you guys in a group, or does everybody just know when the game is, what's going on? Is there like some kind of jungle music that goes through, or how do you guys communicate?
That's a very good question. A telephone still, mm-hmm. of which Jess is more or less the central character, involving the men from the other part of the Bay Area. And there's also a small website having to do with Fullerton Backgammon Classic Facebook.
You have it on Facebook? That's great.
And otherwise, there are some very, very highly regarded backgammon players in the Bay Area. A guy called Kip Woolsey, who puts out essays for free about how to play match play, for example, which is different than the chouette version I was describing earlier.
Do you ever have young people come up and say, teach me?
Yes, and we love to do that. And it's a great game for kids, and we love showing them how it works, boys and girls. And one of the little gags that I use, where there is a particular child who might be interested, say 5 or 6 years old, and the first question I'll have for the kid is, so kid, can you count? And the kid will say yes, and then the next question is, does your mom have any money? Which almost always gets a laugh from the mom, as you could expect.
Really, during your games, I have actually gone to say hello to Jesse in the midst of a game, which felt like I was trying to poke somebody out of the most intense concentration. Like, I got vibe, I backed away, such was the vibe. You know, the group looks at you as if to say, no distractions.
I can certainly understand. And I don't like that. I like people. I like more interaction. And sometimes it may slow the game down, and then my answer will be, so what?
How long do the games go for?
Good question. We could play, typically, a game itself may last 10 minutes, maybe.
Really? Just 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm. But we made many, many games. So we could play, typically, we could play until 6 o'clock at night. People has natural rotation.
How many games do you have going on at once? There's how many tables?
Good question. The Bill Graham tables are numbering, I think, 6 or so. In fact, the city of Mill Valley came recently and refinished them. It was nice of mm-hmm. them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And at any given time, there would be a couple of backgammon games, perhaps, and a couple of chess games.
Who brings the boards?
Good question. There is a company in Providence, Rhode Island, who, in my opinion, make the best boards. And I used to have a wholesale account with them and receive their boards and distribute them for no profit. So you'll see a lot of the same kind of a board.
Is that the board that you brought with you today?
It is.
I will take a photo of you with that board.
Sounds
because good. That is definitely no small board. That's for real, that thing. It's big.
It's a wonderful board. Cork.
And well patinaed, I noticed.
Yes.
How about... You didn't really go in too much detail about the names of your local friends that play. Introduce me to your Mill Valley players, their names, if you don't mind.
Sure. Mansoor, Persian heritage, and we acknowledge the fact that he invented the game, lives in Corte Madera. A very smart, high-tech guy, how he makes his living, comes over, very fluid personality. Jess, the math teacher.
You're not giving the name of the other guy? The high-tech guy? Or is that Mansoor?
Mansoor.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, Jesse.
And
Jesse is our math genius.
Math teacher. And I should say, in Mansoor's honor, we use a couple of Persian words for certain situations on the backgammon board.
Did he give you those words, or in honor of his heritage, you brought them to the game?
You're asking a good question. Maybe he gave us the word Afshar, A-F-S-H-A-R, a king from 12th century Persia who discovered how important the number 5 point was, often called the golden point. The most important point to try to make in that game. Another word from Persia is the word that means candlesticks. It's a case where you have too many checkers stacked on one place. It's called a candlestick. Who else? Callahan, John Callahan, who, as you might guess, was a close friend of Donovan. The other Irish heritage guy, wonderful character, great storyteller. Let's think, who else? Nick, guy from Palestine. Various others. Maybe their names will come up while I...
Yes, don't worry if you forget them, timely release, remember them. We can always add them later. Now, there is one guy that I have seen. It's impossible to miss him because he's very elegantly dressed, and he has always had the nicest hats, and that is Arthur.
Arthur Sheridan. Sausalito. Now, we alas don't see him as often as we used to, but very friendly, outspoken guy with wonderful opinions.
Which he shares.
Sure he does.
I suspect you're a very sharing group in that regard.
I think you got it.
How long has Arthur been playing? Do you know? Or how long he's no longer playing now?
He started playing probably around the same time that Donovan was showing us how to play backgammon. And Arthur's also quite a good chess player, so we were seeing him at the Plaza 1989-ish.
But you don't know when the games began because the tables were there put by Graham, you said, in the 70s.
Well,
do you know?
Were they put there in 79?
Were they?
Yeah.
We'll have to check on that.
Well, sure. Now then, you're raising a good point, Deborah, in that the chess game precedes the backgammon game by some years. And there was chess playing before Donovan showed up to show us how to play backgammon.
So let's do a little switch here onto another game. Let's get to the chess, because that's part of it too. Tell me about the chess games.
Very fluid, probably on the whole, far more players coming in to play chess over time. Maybe not quite as regular as the backgammon players, and I'm less familiar with specific names. Tim, a guy who comes down from Fairfax to play chess. Some other backgammon players and chess players. Mark James. Jess also plays chess.
Do you play chess?
Not well.
Do they also have? Do they bet money on in the chess games?
No,
well?
that's a good question.
Do you have tournaments with the chess games?
Good question again. I don't think so. Not the way the backgammon players do.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if one of game evokes one kind of ambiance and the other game another.
That's a good question, and perhaps the backgammon is more social in a sense.
Less inner thought. You're certainly moving more, all that shaking and everything.
More collective consciousness.
And and you have got a bunch of guys ganging up on one. So you're in the square. Let's step away from the gaming tables for just a moment and talk about the square. So you're in the square. You spend a lot of time in the square. You ever feel like you like own the square? Or well, that it's your territory?
I love the nickname ambassador.
What are your responsibilities as ambassador?
Well, when we think about the people who use the plaza on a regular basis, you and I know Yella and her children and various other young, beautiful mothers, I should add, with their children. It's a wonderful place for young mothers to come and with their children to meet other children. And maybe throw a soft frisbee around.
Yes, I saw you had one in your car.
I do. And it's also the various Mill Valley folk who have friendly dogs, of which we love friendly dogs. And the plaza is a perfect place to bring a friendly dog who can interact with the children, interact with the other dogs, show us a little bit as human beings about interacting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any players with dogs that are like good luck dogs?
Very good question. Callahan has a wonderful dog who is Terrier, Jack Russell? Jack Russell Terrier. He's an old guy. He's, I don't know, 14 or 16 or what have you. But He would see me coming, Deborah, where he'd already be at the park, and he'd bark a little bit about, he knew that I was going to take him for a circumambulation of the plaza and meet the other dogs and meet the sometimes beautiful owners of dogs.
I wish the people that are listening to this could see your face. There's so much in your expressions. Oh, so obviously you appreciate saying hi to people on the square. So you're in your town, you've got your domain, you have a very important position as ambassador. There's risks, there's rewards, there's community.
You are a good storyteller.
What is it, if you could say, explain what that means to you living here?
Well, first, from my point of view, it is about seeing myself in terms of other people, okay? Sounds a little narcissistic, which I don't think I am particularly. But the idea of being of help, of service, is common to all of us, I think. And maybe this is my small way of contributing.
You mean having that place in town, having that spot where you know that that's where your attention is going, and that you take it seriously?
A place of community, and how important community is, after all, I think.
How important is community to you?
I think it's very important. After all, when people look at the communities that they are involved with, most people are involved with several different communities, not only the family community, work community in most people's cases, that this is a wonderful community where there can often be surprises, after all. No appointments. What was it? The Indian guy said, no appointments, no disappointments. But we are, again, so lucky, aren't we, to have this accidental plaza.
Mm-hmm. It's always really nice in an oral interview to include those stories about something that happened. When you think of all the years you've spent with your gaming crew and the Friday Club, are there any particular days or moments or something that happened that stands out in your mind?
Let me think of a little bit about that. Or I could say, oh, yes, there certainly was, but I forgot.
Well, think about that. Sometimes it's just a moment that stands apart, a person, one play, anything that, because it seems to me that you guys are pretty present with what you're doing over there. So
another one of our players, Wayne, a very smart retired health professional, comes over on Fridays, mm-hmm. the big game from San Francisco, and a lot of my memories might pertain to some things that perhaps some people have said about certainly this year, the political atmosphere, which certainly people are expressive of their opinions about politics in the plaza, and we have a certain bent. We have a certain political bent in Mill Valley. It's not everyone's bent, and so the political banter has been pretty funny this year in some respects. So in my case, I threw in the line about why Donald Trump was unwilling to release his federal income taxes. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
He's so embarrassed about the $1.5 million of deductions he takes each year for hair products.
Some really corny jokes going on over
Some
there.
Some pretty corny jokes going on.
Have you ever excluded a player who's come up? Has there any been, I mean, is there, it is, a, is it, can it be exclusive over there?
There was one player. This is an interesting question. And I think I know why he was excluded. In fact, Jess was pretty much the guy who says, very simply, I don't think I want to play with you any longer. And he may have been a guy, Deborah, who was using HGH, which you may know stands for human growth hormone. Why somebody would use that, I don't know. But he would come to the plaza and be a little tense and sort of
aggressive tendencies, perhaps?
Yes, aggressive tendencies. And something that we don't need in an otherwise very pleasant gaming atmosphere.
So that's a point well taken. It is a very pleasant gaming atmosphere. That's important, then.
That's why it's why people come to the plaza, I think, whether they're playing games or otherwise.
Have you developed a kind of support system between you? Has anybody ever been in trouble and it's the gamers that come? I mean, do you have your own kind of... It's sort of like a church, which it seems like what you guys have got going, only without the heavenly aspect. But the community, perhaps.
Sure, it's another good question. And thank goodness, for, as a general statement, none of our players are missing any meals, the way I might put it.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, a couple of our players have some health issues. In fact, one of our players has epilepsy,
mm-hmm.
and had an attack at the plaza. So we, of course, assisted and the emergency services responded very quickly, and we learned that normally there's not a whole lot emergency services can do in respect of epilepsy, but we made him comfortable while we were waiting for them, and then followed up afterwards, make sure he was okay, greeted him when he came back a few days later from resting, and so we're very concerned about the health of all of our players as a general statement.
So you sort of look after each other?
Try to in that respect, sure. And some of the guys have particular talents that it's in terms of trades, trade talents, or consulting talents, and we try to make people aware of those talents where they might.
You
be
mean outsiders help promote each other?
Sure.
Help the flow. Help to maintain the flow going through.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that's awfully nice. Well, I think we've got a lot of information here, but I'm going to ask a couple more questions. Okay. Is there anything we've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about the characters that you play with. We talk about the kinds of games and the various philosophies of backgammon. Talk about the plaza and the community. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you'd like to add in? Any comments of any kind?
It's a good question. Now I'm remembering a couple of other players' names. You'll like this. Two guys called Nirvan, which you might know as a Indian name, and it comes from the time when they were sannyasins.
Oh, they were sannyasins.
Following
Rajneesh.
Rajneesh, what some of us call the Orange Mafia. But they were each in Oregon at the ranch, Rajneesh Poram, and Antelope.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And Nirvan gets a call from his mother, and they talk for half an hour, only to learn that no, it's not. It was the other Nirvan's mother. They talked for half an hour on the telephone.
Wait, did the mother know she was talking to the wrong man?
No.
I didn't know that sannyasins were
interchangeable. Their voices are similar.
Whose phone was called?
Good question. There was a community phone at the ranch, apparently.
Oh, right. Oh, that's interesting. So this is the call. Mom gets a hold of... Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I thought it was during the game. So
this No, this is...
I
just remember...
Perhaps there's still sannyasins. I don't know, but...
I'm not sure.
Spiritual?
That was an interesting time back in the middle 80s.
Yes, I recall.
People coming through Marin County, coming through Mill Valley in particular.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely colored clothing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we didn't talk about. The sannyasins, good. That you remembered. How about anything else that we haven't talked about? And anything at all that comes to mind that represents you?
Yeah. Well, personally, I'd like to figure out... I'm in the happy position of being able to actually give some money away, and it would be fun to think of a small gift or what have you, like Marcus Bench. Marcus has... only lived in Mill Valley for 3 years. He's not part of the gaming group, but he's an Englishman, and he observed the need for a bench and made a nice. He had a lucky Silicon Valley career, and a new friend of mine from the Plaza. And so, in my case, trying to think about where I might.
You might contribute.
Might contribute.
More than just yourself.
Yeah.
So you are the ambassador, perhaps, of the, not just the gaming, but it may very well extend throughout the plaza. It's good to know this. What do you say when you meet people that are coming from the outside in? How do you greet your visitors or the plaza folk?
Well, I love, we have a wonderful Mill Valley resident called Jeff Sears, who owns a wonderful bicycle company called Blazing Saddles. He must be very happy that we're taking this four-lane boulevard, Miller Avenue, and converting it to two lanes for cars and two lanes for bicycles. But I love, and it's become a huge... enterprise during the summer times, in particular, for people from all over the world to come to visit San Francisco and have heard about what a wonderful experience it is to hire a bicycle and ride up to Mill Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And hang around the plaza for a while, maybe talk to some locals.
So you greet a lot of travelers.
I do. Which
that is
may
a
have,
responsibility.
May have evolved into contributing to this nickname ambassador. I don't know.
So you really do have some very serious responsibilities. Do you speak any other languages?
I wish. I'm learning. I'm trying to learn.
To say hello in every language.
In every language to say just kidding. Which is a very important phrase if you're trying to learn another language.
I thought you were going to try to learn, does your mother have any money?
But generally the travelers get a kick. And then sometimes there will be some local jokes thrown in for the travelers that they find also funny, getting a little local feel and what have you.
I think it is very, very nice for any traveler to come into a town and to have a smiling face and a friendly person to greet you and to make you feel at home. You really do have a very important position.
And you may have been to some other places in the world, of which I have, and been lucky to be able to do that. And in many cases, it's simple reciprocity in a way, just from other people's kindness.
Yes. Well, I am very glad to know about your people and about the game. I think that if people will listen to this, they may feel more comfortable perhaps approaching you and learning about what's going on there and the plaza with the backgammon and the chess. I certainly will spread the word.
Sure. Maybe even, Deborah, some of the folks from the coffee shops in town where we say, oh, another coffee shop? Oh, the continued boutiquing of Mill Valley, where we used to have a hardware store. But we like the people at Ecuador.
Yes.
Equator. Equator. What am I saying? Equator.
Yeah. Everybody has their place. Well, I just want to say, Ambassador, that it has been a delight talking with you today. I very much enjoyed learning about the tables, the games. It's something I've watched for so many years and I've never really known about. So this was a particularly interesting interview for me. Thank you so much for sharing your story with the Mill Valley Oral History Program and the library. And I shall see you on the plaza.
You are a good interviewer. We are lucky to have you in that position.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.